Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
We didn't get to introduce the group. This is the workers from the camp at Lake Texoma, Lake Texoma Baptist Youth Camp, all the students there at Crown, and we appreciate the Cook family bringing them up and today and singing for us. Usually they come visit us in the summer and representing Crown College. Our youth pastor graduated from Crown, Brother Nick. Our school administrator graduated from Crown. We don't hold it against him at all. It's all good. And it's a great school. And so encourage you, can go back to the back table after the service and look and get familiar. Also, I think there's some singing CDs back there. Is there some singing CDs? It's always good to have good music. So it's good to have my dad this morning. I know we try once a year to have him come and preach to us. And so this fell at a good spot. And I told him he has a certain time limit, so he's going to come on and preach for us. It's okay if I pick. I appreciate my dad's testimony and look forward to him preaching this morning. I'll help him up the stairs.
No, you don't know what they done to me this week. It's a wonder I could stay up with them. But I did. Turn to 1 Corinthians, please. I'm not going to point them out or make them stand, but I want them to know that the best friend I have in the whole world is right out there. And it's good to see them. And by the way, grandkids, make sure that you come over and meet my best friend before you leave here. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm greatly concerned in this our day and age that there's so many people, Christians, they say they're Christians, they may be Christians, but as I knock doors, I find so many people that are wavering and wondering. You ask them if they're saved, they say, I'm saved. You ask them if they go to church, I don't go to church, hadn't been to church in years. I just want you to know there's something wrong with that. Because Christ died for the church. And He loves the church. Read Ephesians chapter 5. Amen. And therefore, if God, the Lord Jesus Christ, loves the church, we should love the church. Amen. I know for certain if my wife were still alive, I decided I didn't want to come home two or three nights a week, I wouldn't be in fellowship. Amen. You know, so if you're a Christian, you say you're a Christian and you don't go to church, you're out of fellowship. Something's wrong. You're in sin. In fact, you're wicked. Amen. I'll amen myself. Because a Christian ought to go to church. It's the body of Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast means to be fixed in place, not subject to change, firm in belief, determination, or adherence, resolute, true, faithful. So let me ask you, are you all those things? Amen. I try to be. I'm not always all those things. But I try to be. But I know this. The Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I know that my foundation is firm and strong. And I stand upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I stand upon His Word. I stand upon His principles. Whether I can always keep them and do them or not, I still stand upon them. The Bible says, therefore, so whosoever heareth these words of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the rock. Beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. But whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I liken him unto a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Which house is yours? Have you built your house upon the rock, or have you built your house upon the sand? I am thankful, as imperfect as I am, and I am terribly imperfect as a father and as a husband, as a Christian, but I've done my best to build my house upon the rock. And I am blessed because I built my house on the rock. How about you? I would tell you tonight, this morning, be faithful, be steadfast, be unmovable. Make Jesus your foundation. Paul was talking to Christians here, no doubt about it. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. My beloved, he's talking to Christians. I'm talking to Christians this morning. I'm talking to you and I'm talking to me. Every sermon I preach, I have to study it, and I have to take it in myself first. Then I have to pray diligently, and I hope I'm kind of pinning down what God wants me, and then He always adds to it. Paul was talking to Christians, and when you read the therefore, you always have to look to see why it's therefore. Why did he say therefore? Well, the therefore is therefore because of the gospel. As we turn back just a few pages in my Bible anyway, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Isn't that significant? I'm standing on the gospel, not on my works, not on my goodness, because I have none. You know, Galatians says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. My justification, why I'm going to heaven, is my faith in Christ. How about you? He goes on to say, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, here's the gospel. First of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Not according to Dan Crawford or Eric Crawford or any other preacher in here, but according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I don't go by fairy tales, I go by the Word of God. And I don't go by some Bible that left out 40 or 50 or 60 Scriptures in. I go by the King James Bible. It's the best. That's another rock I stand on, because it was given by the rock. I stand, therefore is therefore because of the gospel. God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's therefore because Jesus died for our sins. It's therefore because God gave the ultimate price, the ultimate gift, that we might have everlasting life. Do you have everlasting life? Have you accepted Christ this morning? If not, I've got a short, brief gospel message for you who are not saved. Three words: turn or burn. And I'm not being mean, because God, the Lord Jesus Christ, died so you could be saved. He gave His all. God gave the ultimate price. 1 Peter 1:18 says, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as gold, silver, or gold from your vain conversation, but with the precious blood of Christ. It's the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I didn't sing it now, I said it. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit." Christ suffered for my sins. He came to this earth born of a virgin, grew up, went to an old rugged cross after he was beaten merciless. And he died on a cross for my sins and your sins. He paid the ultimate price to redeem us from our sin. Because you cannot redeem yourself from your sin. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing you can do in your physicalness. Is that a word? You see where he gets it from. There's nothing I can do physically to get saved. It's only by faith. He suffered, the just for the unjust, put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. Jesus paid the ultimate price for our sins. The therefore is therefore because Jesus was buried and arose on the third day. And not 2 days, not 2.5 days. He didn't faint, he didn't swoon, he died. He died for my sins. And they put him in a grave, and he was there literally 3 days. Jesus said in Matthew 12:40, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." I know that the story of Jonah is real because Jesus said it's real. The naysayers can say all they want to, but it's real because Jesus used the illustration for his own resurrection, his own burial, and his own resurrection. So I'm telling you that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And I'm telling you that Jesus Christ was 3 days in the tomb. And then he came out gloriously. And he's alive. And he's on the right hand of the Father. Even this morning. And he's waiting to hear the trumpet. He's waiting to tell the old boy to blow that trumpet. And give the shout. For I'm going for my bride. Are you part of the bride? Are you part of the church? Are you saved? If you're not, you need to get saved this morning. No reason why you can't. If you'll see, I'll tell you what. My best friend out there will tell you, if he can save me, he can save anybody. We were kind of rascals, wouldn't we, Neil? I was the worst rascal. God, in all of His grace and His mercy, how wonderful He is. The therefore is therefore because Jesus arose on the third day. Paul said, "But he who God raised again saw no corruption." The angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen." Do you believe that? Kind of a weak amen. Are you trying to coax the amen out of me? Yes, I am. We ought to stand up and shout. Of course, Baptists hadn't learned to do that, but they will when they get to heaven. Even me. The therefore is therefore because of the testimony of the martyred saints. In John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, 1, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." Can you imagine that? I always get a kick out of reading that. John Penn. You know, I saw him. I touched him. I heard him. I was with him. And we do not deny that because John was boiled in oil. They tried to kill him. They were not successful. He got out and they put him on the island of Patmos. And there, I guess he died there, didn't he? I'm sure. But he gave us the book of Revelation. They thought they had done him in. But he gave us the book of Revelation. Or God did through him. Amen. The apostles died for their faith. The therefore is therefore. You look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I go on down there and it says, "And they were seen of Cephas, then of 12. After that they were seen of 500 brethren at once. of whom the greater part remain unto this that present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also as one born out of time, out of due time. All these people died. All these people died believing. All these people knew that he was alive, and they would not recant or reject, but they died. We read in the book of Hebrews, we read all that about different ones who died for their faith, even though they had never seen the Lord Jesus Christ, some of them physically. I want to read something. I've just got to. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." I've only seen the Lord Jesus Christ through the pages of this book. I've never seen him physically, neither has anybody since the day of Paul. But I believe in him by faith. Hope results, or faith results in hope. For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The apostles all died because of the blessed hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. James was killed by Herod. Peter was crucified. Thomas killed with spears. Bartholomew was killed. Matthew was stabbed to death. Paul was beheaded. Andrew was crucified. Philip was crucified. Simeon was killed. Thaddeus was crucified. And these all died believing and would not recant. How about you? Are we going to stand? Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. When things get tough, when the trials come, when the temptations come, are you going to stand? Are you going to be steadfast? Are you going to wait on the Lord? Are you going to count on the Lord? Sometimes it's hard to do. I'll say sometimes I haven't. But you know what? God is gracious and merciful, and He's so far, He's always brought me back around. He's always allowed me to get right. If I will confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Well, we see here, according to you, I still got 20 minutes. Okay. Verse 12 in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, "Now if Christ be preached that He arose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen?" He is. "If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain." You listening? "Ye are yet in your sins, but glory to God, I'm not believing in vain, and I'm not in my sins. Every despicable, awful, dirty, filthy, rotten thing that I've done or said has been forgiven." Amen. Not only my past, but my future. Yeah. By the way, that's not a license to sin. "And ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ Jesus are perished." You know what? I believe with all my heart. I can take you to a cemetery in Marlow where my grandparents, my great uncle, my uncle, my mom, my dad, my wife, my daughter, two little granddaughters. They're buried there. Their bodies are there, but they're not there. And that's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Say, "I know in whom I have believed." Amen? "And am persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." The therefore is therefore because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christians have been, you read the Book of Martyrs even, and you find where Christians were tortured, fed to the lions, scourged, crucified, burned at the stake, because they would not deny the death, burial, and resurrection. It is the resurrection that made the difference. The resurrection changed everything. The Lord tried to tell the apostles that He was going to be crucified, He was going to die, He was going to be buried, but it just kind of went over their heads. Hey, sometimes we read the Word of God, or a preacher stands up here and preaches and a message, and it just kind of goes over our heads. We hear it, but we don't hear it. And I hope today you're hearing what I got to say. Because it's not me. Just like every other preacher, if he's what he ought to be, I'm talking about try to be humble. You can't preach without God. And I ask the Lord diligently to please help me. See, Peter was the one who said, I'll do this and I'll do that. But Peter denied the Lord three times. But after the resurrection, we see Peter's boldness. And Peter was crucified upside down. Thomas was always saying that negative, was very negative about everything. And even when he was crucified and he wasn't there, and the apostle saw Jesus the first time, and he said, I don't believe it. I won't believe it unless I put my finger in his hand. If I put my hand in his side, I won't believe it. But when he saw the risen Lord, that second time he came to him, he said, oh, my Lord, my God. I have no doubt that's what we're going to say when we come to get to heaven. We fall on our knees before him. You know, young people, we are to fall on our knees every day. Young people, old people, in between people, we are to spend time on our knees every day and say, oh Lord, my God, I need you for everything I do today. I can't accomplish what I got to do today. Whether it's at work, whether it's at home, or wherever it is. Whatsoever you do, do for the glory of God. You can't accomplish it for the glory of God without God. And then we see Paul's persecution of the church, the killing of the church, the putting of the church in jail. And Paul's about face when he met him on the road to Damascus. And there he was blinded for a few days. But he was never the same. Greatest missionary, probably the greatest preacher that's ever been besides our Lord. Therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The therefore is therefore because, now I'm talking to Christians, because ye have believed. Ye have believed. Paul is talking to Christians. He's telling us to be steadfast. And I can make a list, and Eric can make a list, and any other teacher or preacher in here can make a list this long. Be ye steadfast in these things. But in case y'all don't want to stay here about evening service, we'll cut it down to about three. Be steadfast in your love for Jesus. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. And love thy neighbor as thyself. Let's just throw that one in. Word of love. I remember I hadn't been saved long. I got saved at the age of about 27. Even though I was raised in church, I got out and done my own thing for several years. And got in the Lord worked things, so I got in church. My family got in church. And it wasn't long after that I surrendered my life to do whatever God would want me to do, to be faithful. And this psalm stuck in my mind and stuck in my heart. Psalms 57:7. My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Young people, one thing you need to do, you need to fix your heart on Jesus. You need to, you know, you ought to be like the old mule. The guy, the miner's trying to drag along, or the farmer's trying to drag along. The mule's like this. When it comes to doing evil, that's the way you need to be. You need to fix your heart on Jesus, to live for Him, to obey Him, to surrender your heart and your life to Him. But it's not for just the young people. That's for all of us every day. But I am trying to encourage the young people to do it. You know, give your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Be steadfast in your love for Jesus. Be steadfast in your faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I want you to understand, God will reward your faith as imperfect as it may be. He has rewarded mine as imperfect as it may be. If you want a blessed life, live for Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus, as I said before. Hebrews 3:14 says, "For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steady to the end." I think God's saying, if you really say, you're going to hold it to the end. And then there's some other scripture that says, if you don't hold it to the end, I'm going to take you home quickly. When I decide you ain't going to do right no more, you're coming home. Hebrews 10:38. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Live in such a way that it pleasures the Lord, that He can say, "Hey, look at my son. Look at my daughter." Be steadfast. Now here's an important one that's being ignored so much today, and everybody wants to just do their own thing. Preachers are sitting around and preaching and trying to philosophize the scriptures and philosophize the stories. And I think you ought to just preach the word. That's what I think. Be steadfast in doctrine. Now you could preach several sermons on that, couldn't you, son? Ephesians 4:14 says, "That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Boy, there's a bunch of them wolves in sheep's clothing out there on TV. He's got their $3,000 suits, curly hair, and you know, had their makeup on, and they sound so pretty and so sweet. Yeah. Right. They're out to deceive you. Yeah. You know, if I'm going to give money, I'm going to give it to my local church where I got some people that prays for me and cares about me and loves me, and a pastor who at least comes see me in the hospital. And I know my pastor, I know what he believes, and I know he believes the Word of God, and he's going to teach me the Word of God. And he is going to be steadfast, and he's going to be unmovable. And he's going to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. I don't want somebody in Timbuktu. All right. The therefore is therefore, and I'm getting to the last thing. Some of you are saying, "Woo, I wish he was running." Therefore, be unmovable. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. We were telling a story a while ago to my best friend back there, how when Eric finally got around 30 years old, somewhere in there, 27, we were down in Texoma on a platform on a barge, and we were all horsing around, swimming, doing this. Now, I'd always been able to take him, and I started trying to move him. He had gained a little weight. I don't know. I started trying to move him, and I stretched the tendon in the back of my heel here. So for the rest of the week, all I did was hobble around, you know, and hurt. And so therefore, I no longer try to move him because he's unmovable. I'm sorry, son. I don't know where that came from. I don't think that's in the Scriptures. Be unmovable. First of all, I just got three things. Now, real quick. In your church attendance, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. You're not supposed to be going to church less like I see some people. You're supposed to be going more. You see so many churches that are dropping their Wednesday night service, Sunday night service, doing this and that, trying to get a crowd. You're not supposed to be going less. You're supposed to be going more. You need to hear the Word of God. You need to hear it taught. You need to hear it preached. You need to be encouraged. I tell you, since I've got saved, unless I was sick, and that's very rare, God's blessed me with a pretty good constitution. I just don't miss church. And that's not patting me on the back. That's saying when God changed me, He changed me. I got a lot of junk He's still working on. Be steadfast. Go more, not less. For your family's sake, for your church's sake. Numbers encourage the church. It's not so Eric can say, well, we had 400 today. No, it's so the numbers encourage you. When brothers and sisters pull together, it encourages you. Every church member ought to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If you don't come back tonight, something's wrong. If you don't come back Wednesday night, something's wrong. I like preaching. I like teaching. I like singing. I like praying. That's just something God put in me. Now, before I got saved, wasn't that way. You know, this church has been running around 300, a little over 300. There's no reason why it couldn't run 400, 500. If God's people would just, hey, I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be unmovable. I'm going to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. I'm going to be there every service unless my health hinders me. Well, I'm glad for a few amens. All right, the second thing, be unmovable in your marriage. Take the word divorce out of your vocabulary. I tell every young couple that asks me about their marriage, about having problems, I say, take divorce out of your... Work it out! I wish you could have seen some of the fights me and my wife had. Work it out! We worked it out. For 47 years worth, till the Lord took her home. Hebrews 13:14 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. It's so popular today for young people just to shack up, just to live together. I'm going to tell you that's ungodly. That's an abomination. God means for you to find a husband. God means for you to find a wife. God means for you to be married before Him. And He marries you. Some preacher may do it, but God marries you. Be unmovable. I'm nearly there. Be unmovable from the gospel. Because there's all kinds of churches changing the gospel today. They're doing all kinds of things with all kinds of Bibles, as I said before. I'm all thumbed. I'm trying to get to a scripture. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The Mormons teach another gospel, by the way. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach another gospel. There's a lot of these churches that have taken Baptists off their name, call themselves non-denominational, that are changing the gospel. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach another gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, and so I know again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed, let him be damned. There's only one gospel, and that's the one I've been preaching this morning. The life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we didn't receive it from some angel Moroni or whatever his name, or moron. The gospel came from God Himself because He loves us. There's a lot of junk out there. Stick to the truth. Stick to your church. Stick to an old fundamental Baptist church. You can't even rely on the word Baptist no more. There was a time you could. All right, I'm done just about. Therefore, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's my last one. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent." You believe on the Lord? That's the work. Not your works, His work. "I must work the works of Him that sent me," Jesus said, "while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." The trumpet's going to blow. It's going to be done. You're not going to be able to win one more soul. It's going to be done. You're not going to be able to knock one more door. It's going to be done. You're not going to be able to attend one more church service here. It's done. You're going to have a great one upstairs. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, the Lord." I think I got two more points, and I ain't going to preach them. Our labor's not in vain. And I got that thing from you this last night. We were talking about my sermon. Our preaching is not in vain, and our faith's not in vain. Your life is not in vain if you're a Christian. But if you're lost, listen to me. Listen to me. If you're lost, your life is in vain. Right. One day your heart will stop beating, and that'll be it. There'll be no more chances to be saved. One day, either that or the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Some of us may get to see that day. But if you're here and you're not saved this morning, if you have not put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't go up. You'll be standing around wondering, where did they all go? Would you stand with me, please? Bow your head. "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Is your heart fixed? Would you fix your heart this morning? Teenagers, would you fix your heart this morning? Would you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Even publicly, it'll mean more. Amen. Would you be unmovable? Would you be faithful? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning, dear God, for Your goodness. I thank You for salvation that's free. I thank You that You've done everything necessary for everybody in here to be saved. And Lord, You want them saved. And I pray, God, this morning that some would come forward and receive Christ. I pray, God, that some would come forward and determine to fix their heart upon You and to be faithful and to do right. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Hymn 167, "Just As I Am." Lord, touch your heart, You come this morning as we sing.
Just as I
be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Know
your labor's not in vain, Lord. Are you steadfast? Are you being unmovable? You know Jesus Christ is your Savior. If you don't, let's come forward and let us show you from the Bible how you can have salvation. How you can have a home in heaven, have your sins forgiven. Won't you come this morning?
Just as I am in waiting, God, to receive.
come. The Lord has touched your heart.
Just
come.
As I am tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, findings and fears within, without all them, of God I come, I come.
Some more have come.
Just
won't you come this morning?
As I am, poor wretched by side riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find all them of God I come. Just as I am, thou will receive, will welcome pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe all them.
Some still praying. Won't you come this morning? The Lord has touched your heart.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Some more come. Lord, touch your heart.
Just
and the invitation's left open for you. Sing another verse. I'll come. You're saying, when we sing another verse, won't you come this morning?
Hid my soul of one dark God to thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot of them. Of God I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, findings and fears within, without all them, of God I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find all them of God I come.
It's a great old hymn, isn't it? Think about the words of that song. I know we've sang it through a couple of times now. Just think about the words. Just as I am. The Lord takes you just as you are. It's not about turning over a new leaf. It's not about, you know, coming back to something. No, He takes you just as you are. He'll forgive you. He'll pardon you.
Because thy promise I
sing if you continue to come.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that
love this old song. I have decided to follow Jesus. We, at youth camp growing up, well, we sang this song a lot. And if you know it, sing along with us. Right? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me. Ready? The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. All right, please be seated. And it's good to have Marcella come this morning, accept Christ as her Savior. Amen. And Ricky and I know there's a relationship here, and we appreciate her coming this morning. Blessing. Amen.
All right, just a couple of announcements this morning. If you've got a bulletin, go ahead and take it out. Reminder that Pastor Miss Tanya's anniversary is coming up, and on Wednesday evening, July 28th, we will celebrate that with them just after the evening service, so make sure you're there for that. 2 weeks from today begins our summer revival, and we're excited about it. Lots of things to pray about, lots of things to ask the Lord for. I want to encourage you to see such a full altar this morning. The Lord's working, and we need to continue to pray that He'll continue to do just that. Pray for Brother Dave McCracken as he's coming. We're excited to have him. And then as a reminder once again, these flyers are on the Welcome Center that give details about fasting and about praying and things we can do to be as spiritually prepared for this revival as we can be. So we would encourage you to have that. Reminder about the Teachers and Workers Clinic coming up on Saturday, August 17th. The bulletin shows that there's a youth activity coming up this Saturday, and then a teen hangout the following day on Sunday. Of course, we've got our soul winning visitation inreach and outreach Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. This afternoon we'll have choir practice as always, as well as our men's prayer meeting in the Victory Classroom, ladies' prayer meeting in the True North Classroom. And then the note here as well says the finance team meeting is this afternoon at 4:30. All right, let's all stand together. Thank the Lord for a great service. We will be dismissed. Brother Zellner is going to lead us in a word of prayer.
Our Father, what a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord. What a joy it is to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But most of all, we thank you for your presence and how you work and attempt to work in each one of our hearts. Bless those who were moved this morning that you've convicted about matters that we don't know anything about, but you do. I pray, Lord, that by coming this morning and being in your house, that we could go home and rejoice being a more dedicated child of yours, abounding in the work of the Lord of yours. But we thank you most of all for your presence. Pray that you'll watch over us and do bring us back tonight. Help us to serve you every moment that we have the opportunity. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.